Welcome to Tech Chat number 6. From good old Cerro Talk, this is Michael Wolff. Today we're kind of following up on our ongoing series on productivity. And of course, we can't be productive if we're not healthy. So what we're going to talk about tonight are some things that people are doing to live a healthier lifestyle. Some of the things we'll talk about tonight will include exercise, be it in-home or traveling to a gym or YMCA, or perhaps even using a trainer. We're going to talk about healthy eating with some things that people are doing. Maybe some of you are actually growing your own items or preparing your own meat. You know, maybe you have a garden out back. We're going to talk about vitamins as well. And if so, which ones you use, why you use them, and where they can be purchased. We're also going to talk about drinking water. That's a very serious issue. A lot of areas, really, people feel the water is unsafe to drink, or they add so much fluoride and other chemicals that people feel impair brain function. So a lot of people use water purification. And we're going to talk about sleep, because we're really not at our best if we're not getting good sleep. And many blind people do suffer from sleep disorders, but many have found ways to kind of get some of those things under control. So we're going to talk about all that and much more on the 6th edition of the Cerro Talk Tech Chat. I'm going to start with item number 1, that being exercise. And I know he has to leave, so I'm going to first allow Scott Rakowski to talk about what he does, because in Australia he does travel to a gym and actually pays to have a trainer to assist him and get the most out of that experience. So, Scott, talk about exercises that you do and how long you've been doing it and kind of what you feel have been the benefits for yourself.
Yeah, basically I've been going to the gym now for over a year. Because I wanted to do something about weight loss. I was just noticing that my trousers were not as loose as they should be, so I thought that I'd go to the gym, and I rang up the local gym. I saw the ad in the paper, or someone read it to me from the paper, and actually it's a personal trainer slash gym, so it's expensive. It's $50 a session, but for what you get, it is actually worthwhile, because of the fact that being totally blind and in a normal gym, you'd have to try and navigate your way around the equipment, and you don't know if someone's using the equipment, and you don't want to get hit by an exercise bike wheel or anything like that, or a treadmill or weightlifting equipment. So I thought the personal trainer would be the way to go. So with the personal trainer, on the first week, he actually just gave me a chart, which pretty much said, this is what you should eat. And he said to have 6 small meals a day, because he said the longer the weight takes to come off, the better it'll be overall. And so far, in the year that I've been at the gym, I did start. Now, I don't know the conversions here, so I'm giving the measurements in, or the weight in kilos. So I was 120 kilos, and now I'm down to 104 kilos. So definitely has done a good job. And the way that the program works, it's tailor-made. So depending on your fitness level and things like that, you usually start off with some push-ups. Do some sit-ups, some stomach crunches, and then maybe some weights. And the equipment in the gym, some of it's very visual, such as the treadmills, the rowing machine, and the exercise bike and the cross trainer. So the trainer normally just sets it all up for me, and he monitors your progress, and you get measured every couple of months with a tape measure. And I'm very impressed with it. And the drinks that he gives you as well that you buy, the soya drinks, there's chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla, and it's very good. And I'm very happy with the progress. I like the personal trainer, and I go on the treadmill at home as well, and it's very, very cool.
Okay, 16 kilograms, that's about 34 pounds. It's not bad. So I'll ask, does anyone else actually travel to a gym? And if so, maybe have you found any ways to make the equipment accessible? I've heard of some people actually getting some of the gyms to put certain labels, clear labels, on some of the devices so that people could tell how to operate them. But I'm curious if anyone else actually travels to a gym or YMCA or, you know, exercises outside of the home. And again, please just start by stating your first name so I can call on you. Well, hearing nothing. Okay, so Scott, talk about your treadmill at home and talk about how that works and how much time you spend on it and how you feel that helps you.
Yeah, with the treadmill at home, I've had two of them because the first one that I had, which was probably over 10 years ago, all treadmills are pretty much similar in nature. I think that treadmill was around $1,500 Australian or something. If you pay a cheap amount for a treadmill, it'll either break in the first couple of months or wear out quickly or just doesn't go as fast as you'd like it to go. But the one I've got at the moment from a brand called York. And basically, there's four little displays on the top of the treadmill, which are no good to me because I can't see them. They tell you how many calories you've lost, how far you're moving, or how fast you're going, I should say. They tell you how many kilometers you've walked, and I've forgotten the other one. Oh, the other one tells you how far you've gone. So there's basically four buttons, and they're just like, they're kind of like, they feel like a bit like in the shape of an egg, and you can actually feel them. They're raised up slightly, but you only need to use two of them, one to start the treadmill, one to vary a speed of the treadmill to go up or down, and one to actually turn it off. So there's three. So yeah, it's just a electric treadmill, and I pretty much walk at about 5.5 kilometers an hour and use wireless headphones while I'm on the treadmill so it doesn't feel as boring as it would if you didn't have anything to listen to, and just stream music from my Macintosh to my wireless headphones. And it works really well, and it goes for the amount of time I need to go on there, which is around about 45 minutes at a time. And best thing I could ever do, and I usually go before breakfast because you gain or lose more if you go before you eat. So it's a good idea to do that.
Is anyone else exercising in the home, either via treadmill or bicycle or perhaps maybe using some exercise tapes?
Mary Ellen Earls, I do yoga, and I started it when Clover Nook Home and School for the Blind, before they got rid of the home, had a class, and I took the class, and I've been doing it probably 35 years.
Okay, we'll come back to that. I think there was another Mary who wanted to speak as well. Two Marys. Am I right there?
This is Marianne from Michigan. I just hired a personal trainer. I've had two sessions. I use like the weights. I guess they're dumbbells. I have 2, 3, and 5 pound weights, and I have like one of those bands. I think they're called TheraBands. I'm not sure. And basically, the trainer's going to try and keep everything so they don't have to go out and purchase more equipment. Also have an exercise bike. And they sell some kind of cushions you can put on the seat to make it more comfortable while you're sitting up there. So that's basically what I'm doing now.
Mary Ellen, I want to ask you about yoga, because this is physical exercise, but there's also a certain factor of mental relaxation, right, that's involved with that. There's also the state of mind comes into play. So kind of explain to people who really have no idea about yoga what that is and what that involves.
Well, yoga, first of all, is not a religion. It's simply a way of doing things, and it takes into consideration not only the physical part, that's just part of it, but you also have a mental attitude that it just kind of, it works hand in hand, and that you start feeling so good physically that you just suddenly start releasing, you know, whatever mental tension that you're carrying around.
So how did you learn the moves? I'm just curious, did you really have a good instructor, or were you just able to understand what they were articulating? Did they work with you specifically one-on-one to get down some of the moves to make sure you were doing those correctly? How did that work?
Well, I took a class at the Clover Nook Center, which it was at the time in 1974. It was the Clover Nook Home and School for the Blind, and we had a wonderful teacher who very accurately described the moves that we had to, you know, we're supposed to make, and she would say something like, raise your arms up to the ceiling, or raise your arms out to the side like a cross, and things like that. And then also I went from that because I got another job, and just simply we had a yoga on television on PBS, wonderful lady named Lilius Folan, and she became very interested in the class at Clovernook, and she came out, and through just observing what we were doing, she became very, very good at explaining what the moves were. And then that evolved into my getting her DVDs, and I work practically every day with these DVDs.
Do any of you walk for exercise?
Marianne from Michigan.
Mike in St. Louis.
Catherine.
Mary Ellen Earls.
All right, we have four there. I'll start with you, Mike, in St. Louis, because we talked about this last night, and we're not really going to go into the technology front, but you did talk about how you're excited this year that you're going to use your GPS to kind of help you walk in new areas that you may not be as familiar with, but have the directions to know where you're going so that it's not just the same walk over and over again. So talk about that a little bit, and I will get to the other three of you.
Yeah, okay. Well, first off, I walk because I enjoy it. I really don't have to. I do it for the enjoyment of it, and plus I do walk each day four blocks to catch the bus to work and then four blocks home, so that's a bit of a walk. But aside from that, I live really close to a park, and especially when the weather opens up, and I actually did this last night because we had temperatures in the 60s, and I went out and walked about a good mile and a half, something like that, went around the park twice, and it's enjoyable. It's more fun if you can do it with people, certainly, but even if you do it by yourself, it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to clear your head, and it is good for you too to do that. So that's one thing that I do. As far as walking with the GPS, yes, I got that recently. Well, still in winter, so the weather really hasn't opened up since I've had it. But yes, I do plan on walking some other places once the weather opens up that, you know, I may not have been able to. Well, I could have gotten to them before, probably, but now with the GPS, you won't have to ask for directions or anything like that. And I just plan on walking to a lot more places that are in walking distance that I may before have asked, for help or a ride getting to. A couple of restaurants that are not too far that I plan on, being able to walk to, and even just some friends' houses that are definitely in walking distance. And with the GPS providing the instructions, assuming you've got good travel skills, hey, why not? It's great. It's a great way to travel, and you pretty much, it's maybe not quite as good. It's only as good as the map data, but it's pretty much as good as being able to have somebody giving you the directions and being able to read street signs. So, yeah, once the weather opens up, I definitely, my legs are going to get a workout, that's for sure.
No, very good. And I guess that's a good way you kind of reward yourself. You can go have a nice meal at a restaurant and then kind of walk it off afterward. You don't have to feel guilty about it. And certainly a lot of people don't exercise because they need to for being overweight. In fact, maybe that's how a lot of people stay thin or just keep the metabolism up and so forth. I want to acknowledge Catherine. You had some thoughts on walking.
Yeah, I'm actually in Florida right now with my parents for the next few months, and we walk on the beach every day, actually. We just got back from a walk on the beach. It's really nice. It feels good for the feet. It's hard to walk with a cane, though, in the sand, because it keeps sticking to it. But other than that, it's a nice experience and good exercise, too. And at home, I also go swimming at the Y with my mom.
Okay, Mary Ann, what kind of walking do you do? Do you travel by yourself, or do you have a dog, or you like to walk in a group, or what do you do?
I mainly travel by myself. I prefer to walk with people if people are around, but if not, it doesn't stop me. I use a cane. I live in town, so in a subdivision, so I usually, if I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get in a good walk, half-hour walk, I just walk around our sub, and sometimes I'll walk maybe 10, 11 blocks uptown and buy a soda and come back, walk back. That's a pretty good walk. I think it takes me, I don't know, maybe an hour to get there and back. But sometimes I meet some friends uptown and we walk around. So, and that's always fun because then you're busy talking and it's you're exercising, but you're not thinking about it as much because you're having the social aspect in there also. And I use a Trekker for my GPS. I've had it since the summer of 07, and I don't like to go anywhere without it.
It's interesting because certainly you have to still really know where you are, because I don't know if you ever get burned where the battery dies on you and you weren't expecting that. But yeah, that's I've noticed a lot of people talking about that, and I think that's a very interesting concept that they feel a little safer. They just have that sense of security. So if they do make a wrong turn, they're immediately notified of that fact, because sometimes you're out traveling and there is no one available, or maybe there are people that are actually watching you at a distance and wouldn't dare to offer help, but they're too far away for you even to know that they are there. So very good. Mary Ellen, what are you doing?
I live on a walking path, so I use the walking path. I also use it. Sendero GPS. I've been using GPS for 7 years, and right now I'm in between dogs. So I'm using a cane. I still walk practically every day to keep those skills up so that when I do go back to Singai, I won't get as tired.
Well, that's interesting. Three of the four of you are using GPS technology to enhance your walking experience and know where you are. That's very interesting. I want to talk about vitamins. And again, we'll ask each of you to just key up and state your first name. Are any of you using vitamins or any supplements to kind of for your diet?
Scott and Sydney.
Mike in St. Louis.
Okay, we'll start with Scott and Sydney.
Yeah, I take a vitamin called vitamin B complex. It's got a variety of vitamins in the tablet, and I have one of those in the morning every day. And I also take another capsule. I think it's a mixture of fish oil and something else. I can't remember the other ingredient, but it's meant to keep you healthy and just look after your well-being overall. I've been on it since 2000, and yeah, I don't really get sick in the winter, like colds and flu and things like that much, and if there is anything like that, it's very, very minor compared to what it would have been without it. And it's called ephemerine. I don't know if you can buy it in the US. Don't even know the spelling of it, but yeah, you get 180 capsules in a container, and that's pretty much it. And they're very nice. I mean, yeah, you don't taste them or anything, but just have them with a cup of tea or something, and yeah, best thing I ever did.
So what do they contain? Are these vitamin C, or they have different B elements, or what do they have in them?
I'm not exactly sure of the ingredients, but I know the ephemerine just contains just a bit of everything, like vitamin C and vitamin, I think it's E in there, and the other vitamin tablets, just a bit of everything, really, just to keep yourself balanced.
Okay, very good. Mike in St. Louis, what are you taking?
Yeah, I take the, I think the Centrum is who makes it, the once-a-day for men. I take those, and they're pretty big, good-sized pills. They've got a lot of things in them, and I definitely think I do have somewhat more energy with it. It's not a huge, you know, drastic boost from what I had, but certainly no bad effects. And you know, they are really popular, and so I've been taking those for about a year or two. And, seem to work out really well.
Anyone else take any vitamins or health supplements?
Salvatore Rigo.
Okay, go ahead, Salvatore.
Yeah, I take a 1,000 milligram vitamin a day, and I take the omega chi, like my Scott was saying, in Australia, and I take it, you know, for my chi, and I have the flu shot in the beginning of the winter. Like this all winter long, I try to stay healthy. And the B complex, I also take that because that is so very helpful for the winter.
Okay, are any of you doing anything in terms of water, either own water purification or buy bottled water, believing it's a little healthier than what's coming out of the tap, or are any of you doing anything to clean up or improve the quality of your water?
Scott in Sydney.
Okay, someone else wanted to talk to her, but go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, basically, they sell these 5-liter containers of water here, just natural spring water, and it's been filtered and pure, and it comes with like a little tap on the front of the container, and just put it in the fridge, and yeah, you just get glasses of water out of there when you want it. I've also got here at work, we have 15-litre containers of those drink water coolers, and you just get water from there when you want them. And, yeah, it's pretty much it. I just drink water from those devices. I don't really like the tap water. I just find that it, over here in Australia, the tap water just doesn't taste right. It's missing something. You can definitely tell the difference when you drink the natural spring water from the nasty flavored tap water.
Anyone else?
Tim Brand.
Okay, Tim, what are you drinking?
I like spring water.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I know some people have the coolers in their homes to do that. Some people go very economical and just buy the little Brita machines, which just has a little carbon filter, I believe it is, that certainly better than nothing. And, of course, some people have water filtration on their home, or at least on the cold water that they would be using for their drinking purposes, but not the hot water because that costs more. Although having it on both, you certainly might find your laundry is cleaner or less stains in the shower and then things of that sort. But I guess we'll talk about food. We all love to eat, but do any of you make conscious efforts to eat healthy? I mean, are you really thinking about what you're eating? And let me ask it this way first. Do any of you specifically not eat anything that you know to be unhealthy? Let me start there.
Mike in St. Louis.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
I try not to eat a whole lot of chocolate and that kind of thing. Now, where I really take an approach is when it comes to drinking things, that is where I really, that's probably my area of health the most. I drink no soda, no alcohol, no coffee, no tea, nothing with caffeine. Actually, it's probably easier to say what I will drink than what I won't. Water, I'll have a Gatorade now and then. I do like that. Fruit juices and, lemonade sometimes. That's about it. Another thing that I like to drink, and it's supposed to be really good for you, it's made by the same company that makes a V8 juice, but it's called Fusion. No relation to the Macintosh Fusion program. But it's got some different flavors, and I'm actually drinking a peach one right now, actually, over here. And it tastes a lot better than the regular V8, and it's supposed to give you a lot of the fruits and, you know, vegetables. Which is good because I'm not a huge vegetable eater. I eat a lot of fruits, but not big into the vegetables. So, but for me, definitely no alcohol, no soda, no coffee or tea or any of that stuff.
Okay, I'm the opposite. I'd rather eat the vegetables than the fruit. But do any of you grow your own food? Any of you in the gardening?
Sal.
Okay, Sal, go ahead. What are you growing?
I grow almost everything. You know, I put a white plastic fence in between all the plants, and I grow sweet chard, I grow tomato, beans, Italian squash, zucchini. I separate all with this white so I can distinguish. I have a little bit of vision, not much, and I can distinguish the dirt and the plants. I go there, I fill them, I seed them and everything. They come up all summer long. My kids, my grandkids, they'll beg me for beans, for everything that I could get my hands on.
Okay, and you mentioned before we started the recording that you're a butcher. So why don't you talk about that a little bit and how you do that safely and kind of get people who have no clue kind of what's involved in that in preparing meat.
Okay, I was, you know, when I was working as a butcher, everybody used to tell me I was fantastic on doing cutlets. What I do is I calculate, my mind goes, I put my hands on a piece of meat and I put the knife right by 1/8 of an inch of the chicken cutlets or beef to make a cutlets, and I go slowly sawing the meat, not cutting, not putting pressure, because that's what it's a rule in the butcher business. Don't ever apply pressure. And slowly, I feel the knife through the meat of 1/8 of an inch, and it goes all the way down, nice and slowly and delicately like this. I try not to get cut. If I have to cut steaks, it's different. That's it. That goes 1/2 inch thicker. I put my tongue at 1/2 inch or 3/4 inch, and I go right down. That's a different. I rib eye. It will be different. And I still do it, the kind things, because it makes me feel like I'm still worth to be, you know, to do. You still can do things, even so my eyes are not there. You know, it feels great.
And just talk about your good knife safety, what you do to ensure when you lay down your utensils that you never forget exactly where they were.
Right. Knife safety. I do, when I put my hands where there's a drawing knife, I never try to grab. I go slowly, gentle. Even so, I grab the blade. I don't apply any pressure at all. I just feel like it will be like a needle, something that's stabbing you. So I do very, very delicate. And my teacher in the beginning when I started said to me, sheath the knife the same way you would treat a girl, because you got to be very gentle with them and they won't bite. Otherwise, they'll bite you really badly.
Very interesting analogy. Does anyone have any questions at this point of maybe something you've heard someone else talk about? And again, just go ahead and state your first name so I can call on you.
Marianne.
Okay, go ahead, Marianne, with your question.
Just wondering where to get the yoga DVDs. Is that through PBS?
You know what? I'm drawing a blank because I've had them for so long. I can't remember where I got them. I've had them for years and years and years. Well, not years and years, but, you know, a couple of years. If I think of it, I will come back in and let you know.
Yeah, or always send an email to resources@serotalk.com. We'll post it on the blog notes so that show notes so that people have benefit of that. I guess my next question would be, okay, are any of you buying anything that we've talked about online? And if so, what are some good websites, you know, whether it be food or vitamins or what have you? What are some online resources that you're using to purchase healthy items?
Marianne.
Okay, go ahead, Marianne.
It doesn't really refer to vitamins or food, but I joined Weight Watchers online, and I've noticed if you use the original tools, I can't remember the exact name of the link right now, but it's original. It's accessible, at least with JAWS. I haven't tried it with System Access yet, but it's very accessible.
Anyone else? Okay, Scott, are you still with us? Okay. I guess one of the last things I want to talk about before we just open it up to anything else that you want to talk about that you do to kind of help you feel better about yourself, because it isn't just all physical health. I mean, it's all related to our emotional being, that we are happy and content with ourselves. But I want to talk about sleep, and I want to know if any of you use anything to help you improve the quality of your sleep or help you sleep the same or consistent hours every night. So the reason I call on Scott first is that he said that he used to take melatonin, but since he's been exercising, that he really hasn't had the need for the melatonin because the exercise itself has helped regulate his body and help him keep a normal sleep schedule. But I'm curious if any of you are taking anything, be it melatonin or any kind of herbal remedies or anything that you feel help you to improve your sleep, or maybe read. I don't know. But what are any of you doing to give yourself a better quality of sleep and not wake up through the middle of the night or have difficulty going to sleep?
Mike in St. Louis.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
What I use, it's not it's nothing you take, but I do read. Sometimes that's a good way to wind down. But what I use, partially because I cannot sleep too good when it's a totally quiet room, but I've found that it really does help as far as, you know, staying asleep or just I find it really, it helps me, is it's got an official name, like a sound machine, I guess it's called. Basically, it's got, the one I've got at least has like 8 or 9 things on it. It's got the ocean, rain, just white noise. It's got a bunch of it on there, but my favorite's either the ocean or rain. And I use that a lot of times during the winter. And then in the summer, what I use, and I find that this actually does help also, I've got a fan that it's an oscillating fan, so that provides kind of the sound. But what it also does is it puts out negative ions, which are also good for sleep, and they also freshen the air. And studies have shown that they are very good for sleep also, so I use that in the summer.
Anyone else doing anything at all to help improve the quality of your sleep and restfulness?
Tim Brand.
Okay, Tim, what are you doing?
I have one of those sleep machines. So after my accident, I have a hard time falling asleep.
Yeah, and I know there's software that some blind folks are using. It's out of Canada, PZIZZ. I guess it's pronounced Z's. I guess is the way you're supposed to say it. But it actually plays these different sounds and similar to sleep machine. But I guess you obviously it's software. So you run it through your computer and you can set it for increment how long you want to sleep. And it does this whole relaxation thing in a way to kind of bring you out of the sleep. I didn't know if anyone had tried that. There's a whole psychology behind it about its effectiveness. And some people believe it really works, but I haven't actually spoken with anyone. You can download a demo of it. It's a Canadian product. It's kind of expensive, though, and I don't have the cost here in front of me, but it's a very interesting concept that you could use it and set it for 30 minutes, say, if you felt that you needed a nap in the middle of the day but wanted something pretty quick and that was really restful and refreshing so that you could get back to business and get your work and get your chores and the events done for the day. Now, I don't know. I started taking melatonin, which is something I thought about for quite a while. I know people have been doing it for about 10 years. And I had some concerns only because I was involved and did some sleep research for employment purposes through Harvard and the Brigham Women's Hospital in Boston. So they always stress to me that, A, it doesn't work for all people, and B, you have to be careful which kind you use because some has other elements in it, various herbs and things that might, at least some people have had allergic reactions or that just some people will not benefit from it. But for me, it has been pretty helpful. Is it a 100% end-all, be-all solution? I would not say that, but it does work. And it does help me sleep the same hours every night and be much more restful and overall a bit more productive than I was before when I was, because what you have is some blind people, and sighted as well, but a little higher incidence of blind people that are what we call free running, meaning their body moves at a little bit more or a little bit less, usually a little bit more than a 24-hour day, like maybe 24 hours and 12 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that. So eventually you get, your sleep rhythm gets out of sync. And so maybe your body wants to sleep during 9 to 5, or you have lunch, you go back to work, and you have a very difficult time staying awake because your body's not in sync. And of course, a lot of people stay calibrated via light. But anyway, in March, hopefully the 12th, if not the 12th, probably the 26th, I'm going to be interviewing, and we'll bring him in so you can actually ask him questions. His name is Joseph Hall, and he works there. He went to school at Surrey, over there in the mighty UK, and he works with the Brigham and Women's Hospital. It's a hard one to say, BWH, a lot easier there. But he's going to be talking about some interesting things that people have done, as well as maybe an employment opportunity. If you're in need of work and can travel and maybe want to do the whole sleep research routine, that there are some actual employment opportunities out there. So does anyone have any questions at this point about anything that we've discussed this evening? So I'm curious, is there a particular reading that you do to help you sleep? Because if I read something really good, I tend to get into it, and then it could end up staying up all night. So I'll start with you, Mike, since you mentioned it. Are there particular things that you read that'll help you, or does it really matter? If you're tired, you're going to fall asleep, or do you try to make sure you don't read certain things because you really get into the book and then find yourself staying awake to listen to it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say reading an edge of your seat thing would be good. Sometimes I will read, mainly because I'm interested in it, but something technical, of course, since I'm very techie-minded, but I do find that that helps me wind down. But if you're going to read an actual story or a novel, the kind I like to read the best before sleep, believe it or not, is a romance novel.
Interesting. As long as there's no explicit descriptions, you're doing very good there. Well, very good. And to anyone else, I'm curious what kind of things you would read to kind of help you. I find it may not necessarily matter what it is, but sometimes if you're just laying there, it's too quiet and you're just, your mind is racing, and just by reading something, you focus on that, and it just helps you actually relax, and that helps you get into that state of sleep. But I'm curious if anyone else has anything in particular you read, or just the fact of having that sound.
Mary Ellen Earls.
Okay, Mary Ellen, what are you reading?
Cookbooks. You have no problems when you're reading cookbooks.
But then do you dream about the food, or how does that work? Because sometimes if you read things, if you fall asleep, then you can end up dreaming about, at least I do, like things that happen during the day and I forget about them and then they recur in my dream. But I never thought of that, reading a cookbook to go to sleep. That'd make me want to get up and eat.
Well, they're so boring that you know, you just kind of long, you know, it just keeps, the droning just puts me to sleep. No, I don't dream about the food. I just, you know, give me a cookbook and I'm out like a light.
There you go. You have to load some more recipes if you have a Victor Stream or Icon or some device, and just read those recipes because we got quite a few there. You could read about all the different foods you can microwave or cook in the crock pot, and off to sleep you go. Very interesting. I was thinking of Mike. You were talking about the white noise. I thought, man, I would have bad dreams about being in radio and my radio station being off the air. I think it wouldn't work for me. But yeah, you're right. I've done that. Just the sound of a fan, just that constant sound, or the fact that it, you know, if you live in an apartment, it just drowns out any neighbors, any activity, maybe something going on outside. Just enough of a sound to kind of give you that sense of presence certainly can be helpful as well. Well, do we have any other things that you're doing that you believe help you? And it doesn't have to be physical health. Just maybe we'll go more to the psychological thing. Is there anything that you do you know, motivational tapes or anything to just kind of help your state of mind, just help you mentally feel better. And maybe it's calling a good group of friends on the phone or, you know, just listening to a particular bit of audio, like I said, a motivational tape or music. And if you do the kind of music therapy, we're going to interview a couple ladies at some point who do that and go out and assist people who may be terminally ill or have been hospitalized for one reason or another and use music to kind of help improve their spirits and their health, both mental and physical. But any of you doing anything along those lines?
Mike in St. Louis, I find something, you know, if I've had a really, you know, busy day and stuff, walking I find is a great way to clear your head. But a couple other things, singing I find is very, I find that to be a very good, you know, reliever of stress and just an uplifting thing. And also just to sit down at the organ and maybe play for a while, play a few tunes. I enjoy that quite a bit also, and I find it's very therapeutic.
Mary Ellen, I like to, well, for motivation, I listen to a lot of Wayne Dyer's stuff, and for music, I listen to the Sky FM on Saratech. I listen to their New Age station a lot.
Final comments on anything that we've discussed this evening?
One more thing. I didn't mention it earlier particularly, but I also would agree with Mariana, what Mary Ellen said about the GPS. Not only do I take mine, you know, for the direction, knowing where I'm at, but I do feel safer. I take mine with me also every place I go. I consider it, though it doesn't replace anything like a cane or a guide dog, but I consider it as essential for myself as my cane.
Now, I know you mentioned once the driver let you off a block early. If you had it turned on, will it tell you in something like a bus where you are, or is there too much metal or something to prevent it from working unless you had it up near the window?
No, it'll work fine. I'll do that a lot of times. My GPS runs on the cell phones, of course, so I will just hold that and have the GPS receiver in my pocket. Oh, sure. It will tell you where you're at in a bus.
Well, any of us who travel have at one time or another been let off at the wrong place. Or, I'm sorry, missed your stop. And maybe he knew it and just didn't tell you. But either way, it's happened to all of us. So it makes a very compelling argument for in making the investment in the GPS. And I think we should probably do a show on that and talk about that. We'll mention a little bit on our cell phone segment since two of the very popular ways these days are through cell phones. But certainly that's not the only way. There are other options for those who don't want to have it integrated into a cell phone. With that, we'll conclude this conversation, and we appreciate all the great input. It's always interesting to find out how different people approach the same issues or many issues. So we invite you to join us next week as we continue with it'll be our lucky number 7th edition. And until then, we invite you to send your comments and suggestions to resources@serotalk.com. That's resources@serotalk.com. Call the Blab line toll free in the USA at 866-997-BLAB. And of course, Blab translates to 2522. So again, until next week, let's all stay healthy and stay connected.